Turn to page 376. Page 376. Bottom of the page. Let's stand, please. Sing that second verse.
This evening, Jesse will be sharing a song with us in just a few minutes. Would like to just remind you about Tuesday. Please mark that on your calendar or write yourself a note, put it on your kitchen counter or wherever you put notes, on the side of the refrigerator, on the front of the refrigerator, and keep those things in mind. And if you have any extra food for Thanksgiving, send it to 1910 Forest View Drive, and I'll take care of it for you, okay? That'll be good. Yes. Okay. If you would, our ushers, if they would come forward to receive our offering, don't forget to pray for Brother John, who will be coming next week. Let's pray and bless this offering. Would you do that, John?
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this time that you've given us, Lord. Bring with the pastor now as he brings us the message. Bless this offering, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom.
Amen.
To carry, let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years and tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He can make a way where there is no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
like that, Jesse. Yeah. That's a good song, honey. Yeah, that's my Jesus. He can save anybody. He will. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Did y'all keep your finger in your Bible there where we were this morning in Joshua 24? If you kept your finger there this morning, just open it up where you are. Because that's where we are. Where we are is where we are. Joshua 24. And I'm going to be reading down through verse 13. Do you remember I touched on some of those verses this morning and brought out a few things out of a few of them? Well, we're going to read them all tonight and maybe give you some the same truth that was there this morning, just in a little different view of it. But it's all going to be the same. Somewhere in the message, I had mentioned, you know, what is our motive for our serving the Lord. And I gave you what I thought was the main ingredient for a motive for serving Him. Does anybody remember what it was? Starts with a G. Gratitude. Gratitude. Remember, I was saying if you're going to be that person who's going to say, "As for me," it ought to be because we're grateful for what He's been to us and what He is to us. And so we're going to kind of cover the motives for our serving Him. Or since it's Thanksgiving week, we'll call it Blessings in Review. How you like that? That just came to me. I didn't have that before. Blessings in Review. I kind of like that. I think Doris gave me that. Okay, in chapter 24, verse 1, let's read it together. And I'll read it so that the things I brought out this morning will come to your memory. Because I think most of you were here this morning and you would remember the message. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Remember what happened at Shechem? What did Abraham do? He did. Okay, what about Jacob? What did Jacob do? He buried their idols under the big oak tree, got rid of them. And I don't know if I said anything about that. Can't remember much. I can remember that God blessed us. But what I can remember is that there was a reason for Shechem. And Shechem was to remind them of where they'd been, what God had done. We need to go to Shechem, don't we? And this morning, I think He took us to Shechem. I do. And called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. He's given them how he blessed them. Everything they had, he gave it to them. And everything we have, he gave it to us. I know we say that sometimes, you know, because it sounds Christian to say that. I don't, you know, God gave me everything I've got. But boy, to just stop and say it and then think about it. Selah, think about it. How wonderful it is that we would know deep down in that we supply nothing for ourselves. He supplies it all. And so he says, he gave them Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. Now what he's saying is, I sent Moses and Aaron so they could be there to help you and get you in the right direction. But he says, but I plagued Egypt. I took care of both things at one time here, according to that which I did among them, and afterwards I brought you out. Great. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. Remember that story, don't you? Any of y'all ever see the Ten Commandments? You remember the Ten Commandments? How they did a pretty good job on that old movie, didn't they? And they had them coming down through there with those chariots, and man, they were burning it up. Those were high powered chariots, and those horses were stepping high, and they were coming after those Israelites. But they were going to get them. It looked scary, didn't it? Because there was nowhere to go. The sea was here. The mountain was here. They were boxed in. Couldn't go anywhere. How scary can it get? Have you ever had a time in your life when you were scared to death because wasn't anywhere to go, and the enemy was closing in on you? That's where they were. He said, and the Egyptian pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. My, what a God. Now, I may not even preach. I may just read and let you go home. Because I want you to know this. I want you to think about this. When they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between them and the Egyptians. How in the world could he do that? I mean, we're talking about a particular space that he could cause it to be totally dark. Like someone had just dropped a wall between them and the Egyptians. It was a dark wall. It was a blackness. By his choice, he did it that way. And brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, because the Amorites were where they were going, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. Looks like God could have taken them some other way so there wouldn't have been all that fighting. Things that happen to us folks in our life are for a reason. You don't have it easy all the time for a reason. You have things that come into your life that challenge you for a reason. The knife maker does not make a knife blade without putting it through the fire. the steel has to be heated. The steel has to go through the torment of the flame. The steel has to be put to the challenge, to the test. The good thing about that is when you're being tested, he's right there. I always go back to the three Hebrew children in the furnace. He was right there with them. What could go wrong? They weren't going to burn. They certainly wouldn't bow. They were going to get out of there. I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. And he's not through yet. And he says, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. Everybody wants to defeat Israel. Everybody's after the children of God. Folks, this world's after the children of God. You got to see this evil that's going on in our land right now. This old evil world is after the child of God. You're not going to have an easy road to hoe. You're not. And sent and called Balaam. That's what king of Moab arose and warred against Israel. And sent and called for Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. He had a plan. He knew how he could curse Israel. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. That's God's plan. It's a plan, right straight from heaven. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. Wow, bless their hearts. You think you have it bad? Everywhere they went, they were. That'd be like you going shopping one day and go to Walmart and everybody's wanting to fight you at Walmart. You say, I'm just going to Sam's. Go over to Sam's and they're fighting you over there. Well, I'm going to the mall. I can't stand this. You go to the mall and they're fighting you down there. That's what this is like. Everywhere they went, they were being fought against. And Jericho fought against you. The Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them. These are a lot of ites. You know it? A lot of ites. And I delivered them into your hand. They weren't able to do this on their own. They were totally outnumbered. And the others were more weaponized and more warrior-like. And God took care of every one of them. You see, he's our general. He's our commander. He takes care of it. And I sent the hornet. Watch this. Now, I believe somewhere along the way back last year or so, we brought this verse of scripture out about the hornet. See if it comes to mind. And I sent the hornet before you. A hornet. A bee. Sent bees after them. Which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. But not with thy sword. Wanted to remind them, it wasn't with anything you had that they were driven out. They were driven out because I sent simply a little bee. Can God do it? Yeah, he can. You say, well, I got a big old sword here. And God says, but I got a little old bee here. They don't like hornets. Don't like hornets at all. But not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And then I read verse 13 this morning. I'm going to read it again. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor. Boy, I love to read that. That I just get settled peace within when I understand that everything I have came from Him. And everything I'll ever have, everything that I'll ever be, came from Him. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat. Gave them everything. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Now let's ask God to show us something here in this scripture today. Lord, we're grateful. Oh, we're so grateful for what you did for us this past week. I thank you for every man of God who preached a message here in this pulpit. And Lord, I thank you for every song that was sung, every heart that was touched. I thank you for every member of the church that saw the need to come out and partake of what you were given. And oh God, we're so thankful for that. And I pray, Lord, that for those who don't see the need, that soon and very soon, they'll see that not only do they have the need, others have the need, that they see it. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What he's actually doing here, and I'll go to verse 14 and not read it, but to verse 14, we covered verse 14 and 15 pretty extensively this morning. But verse 14, we see that the service that he's talking about is actually demanded. Even though it's a choice you make, he's the one that says you don't have a choice whether to or not to. You need to do it. That's what he's saying. He's demanding that we have service for him. If you're a child of God, we've got to see that that's necessary. It's not something that we can put in or leave out of the program. You know, when we're doing things here at the church, we put in different programs. I really enjoyed that Thanksgiving program the choir did this morning. I thought it was a true blessing for everybody who was here. We put that in the service, and I thank God for that. But here, he's saying that for us to serve him, we can't just put things in the program. We serve him. We serve him. The things that we do in our church, they are to be something to everybody. But ultimately, if I'm going to have anything that's going to change my life, it's going to be that me and God got together and we had a meeting of the minds. And I listened to him and I hear what he had to say. And when he says here, now therefore, fear the Lord. That's in verse 14, remember? He said, now therefore, and we knew why it was therefore, because of all that stuff I just read. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. He doesn't say if you have an opportunity. He doesn't say if you get a chance. If by chance you have an extra hour or an extra day, why don't you give me some of it? You don't hear that in that, do you? What you hear is, now therefore, since I have been everything I could ever possibly be to you, now therefore, stand in awe of me. Look and see who I am, and who I am to you is what's important here. He said, fear the Lord, and in your fear of him, in your awe of him, serve him. Do you see how much easier it is to serve him when we stand in awe of him? when we know how powerful he is, how he's going to fight our battles, how he's going to deliver our enemies into our hand. We don't have to worry about that stuff. So he says, you're free to serve. Just go serve him. He'll take care of all this other stuff. And how this service that we're going to give, how it's to be done. In verse 14, he tells us, in sincerity and truth. We don't do it flippantly. We do it sincerely. We do it in truth. There's no gray area here. If we're going to serve God, it's a black and white issue. It's cut and dried. We're to serve him. We're to fear him and serve him. And we do it sincerely. I want to be more sincere with the Lord. I pray that God will make me more mentally sincere, more spiritually sincere. I want to be sincere with him, but not just because of the way I have worshiped all my life. I want to be sincere in him in the truth. I want the truth just to take over my life, and that's what he's asking them to do. We can't just have a function going on in our life, and this is how we function. That's not how we function. He said, I want you to do it, and I want you to do it sincerely, and I want you to do it in truth. But then he went on to say, if you're going to go in that direction, there has to be some things that are put away. The gods that you have had in your prior life before you were saved, and some even after you were saved. Let's not pretend at all that as Christians we have not had other gods in our lives. The Israelites were his people. They had other gods. And it seems like everywhere they went, they were tempted and tested and taken into that country's culture. And when they got into that culture, they thought they had to fit in. Even though they were God's children, they wanted to fit in. Well, folks, we're the same way. Think about it. We want to fit in. Christians seemingly want to fit in to this world system, and we can't fit in. We're not a fit for this world system. We look silly trying to fit into this world system because the world's just laughing. If that's where you are, where's your God, they would say. If that's who you are, why are you trying to fit in with who I am and where I am? Even Christ himself did not try to please himself. He wanted to please the Father. And I say to us, let's please the Father. And if what we do and what we say and how we act and where we are does not fit in with what God wants for us, let's get rid of it. That's what he's saying here. You got to get this stuff out. You got to put away those are gods in our life. They're not material maybe, but they're there, and they're there as a hindrance to our Christian life. And he says you got to get rid of them. Now therefore, it is what it's there for. We got to get rid of these things, and we got to bring in the things he wants us to be. Suggest that these are reasons why we need to go on. Now I want to take you into those same verses I read this morning, and we want to go back through them, if you will, because there had been some things that he did that he wanted to bring back out to light. And I know there are 13 verses there, and he says a lot. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bring a few of them out and give you specifics so that you can work on a few things. I don't know about you, but if it gets too complicated, if there are too many and I can't remember them all, my brain just shuts down because I want to try to complete the program from A to Z. I can't go there, but I can go from A to B. I see somebody smiled and got it. I can't go A to Z, but I can go to A to B. Well, I'm going to take you a few letters above that, and I believe we can do that. But let's see what he says here. He didn't say this just once. He said this more than once. He let them know that he was, beyond the shadow of a doubt, he was their deliverer. When you needed salvation, you may not have seen it like you needed to be delivered, like you were in bondage, that you were a slave to sin, that you were a slave to Satan. You might not have seen it that way. You did see that your sin was against Jesus Christ and that you needed to get rid of it. But you probably didn't see the fact that you need to be delivered, but salvation means deliverance. If you're going to be saved, you're going to be delivered. He delivered you from your sins. He brought you out. You were in it. I was in it, thick and heavy in sin. You say, but I was only a young person. I was a teenager. It doesn't make any difference. Sin is sin. And what sin does in the life of a young person, if it goes on, it just accumulates, it just swells like a mountain, and after a while your life just seemingly goes downhill because sin just becomes more sin. It breeds sin. Evil breeds evil. Like produces like, whether we like it or not, it does. So he says, I delivered you. Do you remember how he delivered them? Of course you do. He said, open the gates and let them go. Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. I think there was a blood issue. I think the blood had to be applied at some point, don't you? You see, sin has to have a blood projected into this thing. And it was. It was put on the top of the doorpost and on the sides. The blood was their protector. The blood was their deliverer. When he said, when I see the blood, I'll do what? I'll pass over you. Well, you know, when he sees the blood of Jesus Christ on your life, he's going to pass over you. You're not going to hell with the blood of Jesus Christ covering your sins, folks. And if the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied through repentance of your sin and he has delivered you and forgiven you, the blood is there. The blood is not temporary. The blood is eternal. His blood is eternal. Our blood is not. His is. And I got a blood transfusion one day. I have his blood covering my sins, and he delivered me. He said, Dan Foster, I brought you out. I did this for you. So we were brought out. We were delivered by the blood because we were delivered by his blood. Once we were slaves to sin, but now we've been brought out. Now we are the children of God. How's that ring to you? We're the children of God. And I know you have your natural parents. I know that. But the most important person you have is God in heaven, Jesus Christ your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is the one who lives in you to guide you and direct you. That's the most important people we have in our life. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And so we are the children of God because of that. That's how we become the children of God. And being delivered by his precious blood, I'm delivered for a purpose. And y'all know I've preached purpose, purpose, purpose. And I'm not into the purpose-driven life, that the book that you know. I'm not there. I'm saying God has a purpose for you. And I'm not talking about that he may want you to become a famous musician or something in the church, or that he may want you to do any specific job. I can tell you this, you have a purpose. Now, whatever that is, you have to find it. It may be something that's not recognized by man as a purpose. Doesn't make any difference. God has a purpose for you. And these people here, there was a purpose for them being where they were, and he wanted to make sure that they understood that they had been delivered, and they had been delivered for a reason and a purpose. Then when I read a few minutes ago that when the Egyptians were coming down on them, and I said he dropped the darkness in between. The darkness in between was to separate the two. Isn't it wonderful how God separates us from this old world? We're in it, but not of it. He separated you. When you accepted him as your Savior, he dropped the dark cloud between you and that. He did. That's what he's talking about here when he talks about separation. Are we to separate ourselves? He does the separating. We recognize the separation and we do what he says. That's where our part of the separation comes in. Otherwise, it becomes something I can do. And I can't do it. He has to do it. He separates us. He said, the Lord put darkness between you and the Egyptians. The darkness of death still lies between the saved and the unsaved. If you're unsaved, there is the darkness, that dark shield that comes down, and it's called death. It still is there, and it separates the saved and the unsaved. And we have that dark cloud as a Christian to separate us from this old world. No human power is able to bridge the gap that God bridges, this great gulf that he fixed for us between death and life. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I needed to get to heaven. And there wasn't any other way for me to get to heaven but for him to create a bridge so that I could take his son, believe in his son, and get to where he wanted me to go. And he separates us today. We need to live a separated life. We know that. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that. When we're not where we need to be, in our separation, he shows it out. He shows it to us really plainly. Then he said, I gave them enemies. Verse 8. I gave them into your hand. These are the enemies that we talked about a few minutes ago. This is the victory that he gives you. I like tasting victory. Don't you? Love it. Love victory. I love, if I'm in some kind of a sport with somebody, I love to beat them. And I love to beat them bad. I love to mop up the floor with them. Y'all say, that's not you, Dan. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. I have that mentality. You know, if I'm in the game, I'm in it to win it. I'm not in it to just be a person who sits on the side. And I, that's this morning, Brenda just thrilled my heart in coming up and saying what she said. And she's so honest. She says, I know some of you think I need to keep my mouth shut and not say some of the things I said. I'm saying, amen, Brenda. She knows I love her, and she loves this church. And that's why she came this morning and said what she said, and then encouraged everyone to be here Tuesday night. I hope you'll get in touch with people who you think might not come and encourage them to come. I promise you it's going to be really, really good for each individual's spiritual growth, and it's going to be good not just for them but for others who hear them tell what God has done for them. Now, you don't have to. You can just come and listen. You know, some people are a little afraid about getting up and saying hello. That's all you need to say, by the way. Do you know it takes one word for you to get to start talking? There's not a person in our church who does not like to talk. You get them to talking and they'll talk all day long, some more than others. But I promise you, if you can say hello, that starts a conversation, and you can go from there. So if you're afraid of what you might say, just come and say hello, church. I just added a word on you there. You see, hello, church. I love y'all. I love being here. And you'll see those smiles, big wide smiles, take place. And first thing you know, you're just full of the love of God telling people how and where you are. So he says, I want you to taste the victory. And that's a victory, by the way, to do that. It is. It is a victory. He says, I want you to have the victory. I'll take care of the enemies. All the enemies that the believer has or thinks they have, they're already conquered by the Lord. You don't have to beat them. You don't have to conquer them. They've already been conquered. He's the conqueror. Amen? So you can be free about that. Just step back and do what the Lord wants you to do and know that he'll take care of it. They don't have dominion over you. They can't have dominion over you. You're God's child. He's going to take care of you. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Romans chapter 7, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And every time that you see an enemy being defeated in your life, just say, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And go on down the road and approach the next enemy. The part that he brought in about Balak, and this is a part that confuses some folks every once in a while when he talks about Balak and Balaam. It's not confusing at all, but to us it is just a little bit. But what he's talking about here in this story of Balak and Balaam, he's talking about how he protects you. I need protection. All of us need protection. And I'm not necessarily talking about protection from car wrecks and falling off of 10-story buildings and stuff like that. I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual matters here. He protects us. When Balak called Balaam to curse you, he blessed you still. That's what he says. He blessed you still. The enemy wants to disturb your life. You need protection. If I were in the insurance business, I would come up with a policy that I could sell you that would protect you from all this old world could throw against you. I can't. No one can. There's not a policy made. No one can do it. He's it. That's good, John. John held up his Bible and said, this is the policy. Yeah. He says, when Balak called Balaam to curse you, he blessed you still. You didn't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about your protection. He is your protection. He'll take care of you. He can turn the counsel of the wicked and the evil out here in the world. He can turn that all around back toward them and away from you. You believe he can do that? He's done it for me a blue million times, folks. I've recognized a lot of times when he has turned that away from me back at them. He's my keeper. He's my protector. He'll preserve. He's in the preservation business. And you're in a position where you are preserved by him. Thank him for it. Between now and Tuesday, just every opportunity you get up and look up and thank him for preserving your life, protecting you in every way, for giving you the victories that he gives you daily, for separating your life from where the enemy can't come in and partake of you. And then there's a song. It says, I'm his and he is mine. You know the song? I'm his and he is mine. I have given you a land for which you did not labor. I possess you and you can possess me. Isn't that good? I'm his and he is mine. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I have no right to gloat. I have no reason to be prideful because I may look like I have it all together. I may look like that sometimes. I don't always have it all together. But I know he does. And I depend on him. I am weak, but thou art strong. He is, and he is the one who possesses you. Do you remember what the prodigal son did, let's say, for the benefits he received. Remember the prodigal? We would have all said, you don't deserve anything for how you did your dad, how you left and took everything you had and went down there and lost it all and ended up at the hog pen. And he went back home and, boy, the benefits were still there. He didn't deserve the benefits in our thinking, but he got them anyway. And then one day I realized I didn't deserve all the benefits either. I didn't. Don't. Didn't and don't. And won't deserve the benefits he gives me. But oh, the benefits. What do I have that I have not received from him? Nothing. My life, everything in my life is there because of him. And he said, now therefore, fear the Lord. Stand in awe of him and serve him. And what's the three-letter phrase we're supposed to say? As for me. Lock it down. As for me. Can't speak for anybody else because it's everybody else's decision to make. But as for me, I love it, don't you? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you. We're just overwhelmed with the blessings you've bestowed upon us because we know that everything we are, everything we'll ever be, it's because of you, and we love you. We love you more than words can say, more than the feelings we can have. We just say the truth. We love you. Oh, but we know you loved us first. That's the only reason we get to love you. You loved us so much that you would lay down your life for us, that you would give your life, that you would die so that we could live. God, how good you are. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave this building, we go out not as members of Liberty Fellowship Church, but as children of God. Ready to recognize everything you are to us and everything we can be in this old world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.